You are listening to WRCT 88.3 FM, and this is Record Roulette with DJ Peachy, DJ Sideways, DJ Flipper, and...
DJ, did you know that wombats poop cubes?
And that's your fun fact of the day. WRCT is supported by Row House Cinema. Row House Cinema is a single-screen theater in the historic Lawrenceville neighborhood of Pittsburgh. Each week, they choose a new movie theme ranging from classic, cult, foreign... animation, fantasy, and more. Their concessions feature natural popcorn with real butter, craft beer in the adjoining bottle shop, and vegan options. Row House Cinema is located at 4115 Butler Street in Lawrenceville. For more information, visit their website at rowhousecinema.com or call 412-904-3225. If you're interested in underwriting for WRCT, you can also email pr@wrct.org for more information about promotional exchanges and other partnership opportunities. In addition, we have some upcoming events on our radio calendar, which you can find at wrct.org/events/radio-calendar. Ongoing community events include the Pittsburgh Banjo Club. Stop by the Pittsburgh Banjo Club's regular rehearsal every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Founded in 1988, the Pittsburgh Banjo Club is an all-volunteer band and organization that uses banjos, trumpets, tubas, and bass to perform popular music from the 1920s and 1930s. The Pittsburgh Banjo Club rehearses at the Allegheny Elks Lodge, number 339, 400 Cedar Avenue in the North Side. Food and refreshments are available. Reservations must be made by Tuesday at 5 p.m. for each Wednesday event. Call 412-321-1834 for reservations. If you or your organization would like an event included in WRCT radio calendar, please send the details at least 2 weeks in advance to radio-calendar@wrct.org. And just some updates from our music calendar as well. On Friday the 31st, which is tomorrow, we've got quite a few events going on, including Benefit for Palestine featuring The Deed, Uprising, Fight on Site, Bad Bet, and the May Day Marching Band at 6:30 p.m. at Spirit Hall, Ollie Alexander, Stud of Bubba, and Lady Grace and the Infinite Failure, and Iris Blinsky at the Roboto Project at 7 p.m., Medusa at Pittsburgh Winery at 7:30 p.m., Bay Ledges with Future Ex-Boyfriend at Funhouse at Mr. Small's at 8 p.m., Versus Machines, Scrum Force, and Trailing Iris at the Government Center at 8 p.m., Papadocio with Grub at Thunderbird at 8 p.m., and finally, the Sewer Heads record release show with Century 3 Illiterates at Spirit Lodge at 9 p.m. Enjoy the rest of our programming. Again, we're playing all records with the color red.
My love, the sun's spirit.
slow down or full throttle. Whether slow but impactful house to high-octane techno, Fast Track will shift you into high gear. Stay in the race from green light to checkered flag with Crimson Shift from 6 to 7 p.m. every Friday. And you are getting very sleepy. Very sleepy. Get cozy. Right after Record Roulette on Thursday nights at 11:30 p.m. for a half hour of classic bedtime stories, pull over and get some needed shut-eye with your host Chamomile for some sleepy time tea.
Can set on the moon, can rise. Oh, a buzzin' and a light from the Hello, this is DJ Flipper with your PSA of the hour. Each year, more than 3 million athletes suffer a sports-related brain injury known as concussion. Sometimes the effects can be serious, especially if they return to play too soon before it's safe or have multiple concussions. According to the American Academy of Neurology, any athlete who is suspected of having a concussion should be removed from play until evaluated by a doctor who has training in sports concussion. This is for all athletes and all levels. Whether it's a major hit during a hockey game or a knockout in youth football, the American Academy of Neurology wants you to know that it is critical that coaches, trainers, and even parents know the signs of concussion and do not allow an athlete to return to play until evaluated by a doctor with special training in concussion. Play it safe. Protect your brain from concussion. A message from the American Academy of Neurology. Learn more at aan.com.
There's a party going on.
Hey, man.
Join us.
Well, I can feel it. Come on. Who's this cat right here?
Hey, man.
You usually one? Yeah.
Come on and join us.
Ooh, it feels so good.
Come on and join us.
You are listening to WRCT Pittsburgh. This is Sleepy Time Tea with Chamomile. We're going to be reading Snow White. Or sorry, Little Snow White by the Brothers Grimm tonight, accompanied with some other things. I'm going to put on my harp music in the background very shortly. We'll see if it even shows up. But I want you to get comfortable, cozy even, and listen to me while I figure out why my laptop isn't outputting harp music. It's a great question. But overall, this is by the Brothers Grimm. It's translated from German by Margaret Hung. And I'll start it very shortly whenever I figure out why I'm not getting things. Oh, it's because Spotify isn't playing anything at all. That's very interesting. You know, that's not very helpful for Spotify to be doing. Sorry, I don't use that. I'm using something else. You know what I may do instead? I may just put on the sound of a fire crackling in the background. But it might take me a second to figure that out. Okay, I think I'm getting it started off now. There we go. Oh yeah. Okay. Join me by the fire as we read Little Snow White. Also, just so you know, you're very allowed to call in and tell me whether I'm too close to the mic, whether the musical bed is too loud. I guess it's not a very musical bed, but whether something's too loud, because I've not talked on air for this long at a time. So we'll see how this turns out and how raw my voice gets at the end. Once upon a time, in the middle of winter, when the flakes of snow were falling like feathers from the sky, a queen sat at a window sewing, and the frame of the window was made of black ebony. And whilst she was sewing and looking out the window at the snow, she pricked her finger with the needle, and three drops of blood fell upon the snow. And the red looked pretty upon the white snow, and she thought to herself, "Would that I had a child as white as snow, as red as blood, and as black as the wood of the window frame." Soon after that, she had a little daughter, who was as white as snow, as red as blood, and her hair was as black as ebony. And she was therefore called Little Snow White. And when the child was born, the queen died. After a year had passed, the king took to himself another wife. She was a beautiful woman, but proud and haughty, and she could not bear that anyone else should surpass her in beauty. She had a wonderful looking glass, and when she stood in front of it and looked at herself in it and said, looking glass on the wall, who in this land is the fairest of all?" The looking glass answered, "Thou, O queen, art the fairest of all." Then she was satisfied, for she knew that the looking glass spoke the truth. But Snow White was growing up and grew more and more beautiful. And when she was 7 years old, she was as beautiful as the day, and more beautiful than the queen herself. And once, when the queen asked her looking glass, "Looking glass, looking glass on the wall, who in this land is the fairest of all?" it answered, "Thou art fairer than all who are here, Lady Queen, but more beautiful still is Snow White, as I ween." Then the queen was shocked and turned yellow and green with envy. From that hour, whenever she looked at Snow White, her heart heaved in her breast. She hated the girl so much. And envy and pride grew higher and higher in her heart like a weed, so that she had no peace day or night. She called a huntsman and said, "Take the child away into the forest. I will no longer have her in my sight. Kill her and bring me back her heart as a token." The huntsman obeyed and took her away. When he had drawn his knife and was about to pierce Snow White's innocent heart, she began to weep and said, "Dear huntsman, leave me my life. I will run away into the wild forest and never come home again. And as she was so beautiful, the huntsman had pity on her and said, Run away then, you poor child. The wild beast will soon have devoured you, thought he. And yet it seemed as if a stone had been rolled from his heart, since it was no longer needful for him to kill her. And as a young boar just then came running by, he stabbed it, cut out its heart, and took it to the queen as proof that the child was dead. The cook had to salt this, and the wicked queen ate it, and thought she had eaten the heart of Snow White. But now the poor child was all alone in the great forest, and so terrified that she looked over at every leaf of every tree and did not know what to do. Then she began to run, and ran over sharp stones and through thorns, and the wild beasts ran past her, but did her no harm. She ran as long as her feet would go, until it was almost evening. Then she saw a little cottage inn, and went in to rest herself. Everything in the cottage was small, but neater and cleaner than can be told. There was a table on which was a white cover, and 7 little plates, and on each little plate, a spoon. Moreover, there were 7 little knives and forks, and 7 little mugs. Against the wall stood 7 little beds, side by side, and covered with snow-white counterpanes. Little Snow White was so hungry and thirsty that she ate some vegetables and bread from each plate, and drank a drop of wine out of each mug, for she did not wish to take all from one only. Then, as she was so tired, she laid herself down on one of the little beds, but none of them suited her. One was too big, another too short, but at last she found that the 7th one was right, and so she remained in it, said a prayer, and went to sleep. When it was quite dark, the owners of the cottage came back. They were 7 dwarves, who dug and delved into the mountains for ore. They lit their 7 candles, and as it was now lit light within the cottage, they saw someone had been there, for everything was not in the same order in which they had left it. The first said, Who has been sitting in my chair? The second, Who has been eating off my plate? The third, Who has been taking some of my bread? The fourth, Who has been eating my vegetables? The fifth, Who has been using my fork? The sixth, Who has been cutting with my knife? The seventh, Who has been drinking out of my mug? Take a water break. Then the first looked round and saw that there was a little hole on his bed, and he said, Who has been getting into my bed? The others came up and each called out, Somebody has been lying in my bed too. But the 7th, when he looked at his bed, saw little Snow White, who was lying asleep therein. And he called the others, who came running up, and they cried out with astonishment, and brought their 7 little candles, and let the light fall on little Snow White. Oh heavens, cried they, what a lovely child! And they were so glad that they did not wake her up, but let her sleep on in the bed. And the 7th dwarf slept with his companions, 1 hour with each, and so got through the night. When it was morning, little Snow White awoke, and was frightened when she saw the 7 dwarves. But they were friendly, and asked her what her name was. My name is Snow White, she answered. How have you come to our house? Said the dwarfs. And she told them that her stepmother had wished to have her killed, that the huntsman had spared her life, and that she had run for the whole day, until at last she had found their dwelling. The dwarves said, If you will take care of our house, cook, make the beds, wash, sew, and knit, and if you'll keep everything neat and clean, you can stay with us, and you shall want for nothing. Yes, said Snow White, with all my heart, and she stayed with them. She kept the house in order for them. In the mornings they went to the mountains and looked for copper and gold. In the evenings they came back, and then their supper had to be ready. The girl was alone the whole day, so the good dwarfs warned her and said, Beware of your stepmother. She will soon know that you are here. Be sure to let no one come in. But the queen, believing that she had eaten Snow White's heart, could not but think that she was again the first and most beautiful of all, beautiful of all. And she went to her looking glass and said, Looking glass on the wall, who in this land is the fairest of all? And the glass answered, O queen, thou art fairest of all I see. But over the hills, where the seven dwarfs dwell, Snow White is still alive and well, and none is so fair as she. Then she was astounded, for she knew that the Looking Glass never spoke falsely, and she knew that the huntsman had betrayed her, and that little Snow White was still alive. And so she thought and thought again how she might kill her, for so long as she was not the fairest in the whole land, envy let her have no rest. And when she had at last thought of something to do, she painted her face and dressed herself like an old peddler woman, and no one could have known her. In this disguise, she went over the seven mountains to the seven dwarves and knocked at the door and cried, "Pretty things to sell, very cheap, very cheap." Little Snow White looked out of the window and called out, "Good day, my good woman. What have you to sell?" "Good things, pretty things," she answered. "Stay laces of all colors." And she pulled out one which was woven of bright colored silk. "I may let the worthy old woman in," thought Snow White, and she unbolted the door and bought the pretty laces. "Child," said the old woman, "what a fright you look. Come, I will lace you properly for once." Snow White had no suspicion, but stood before her, and let herself be laced with the new laces. But the old woman laced so quickly and so tightly that Snow White lost her breath and fell down as if dead. "Now I am the most beautiful," said the queen to herself, and ran away. Not long afterwards, in the evening, the seven dwarfs came home. But how shocked they were when they saw their dear little Snow White lying on the ground, that she neither stirred nor moved and seemed to be dead. They lifted her up, and as they saw that she was laced too tightly, they cut the laces. Then she began to breathe a little, and after a while came to life again. When the dwarves heard what had happened, they said, "The old peddler woman was no one else than the wicked queen. Take care, and let no one come in when we're not with you." But the wicked woman, when she had reached home, went in front of the glass and asked, "Looking glass, looking glass on the wall, who in this land is the fairest of all?" And it answered as before, "O queen, thou art fairest of all I see, but over the hills where the seven dwarfs dwell, Snow White is still alive and well, and none is so fair as she." When she heard that, all her blood rushed to her heart with fear, for she saw plainly that little Snow White was again alive. But now, she said, "I will think of something that shall put an end to you." And by the help of witchcraft, which she understood, she made a poisonous comb. Then she disguised herself and took the shape of another old woman. So she went over the seven mountains to the seven dwarves, knocked at the door, and cried, "Good things to sell, cheap, cheap." Little Snow White looked out and said, "Go away, I cannot let anyone come in." "I suppose you can look," said the old woman, and pulled the poisonous comb out and held it up. It pleased the girl so well that she let herself be beguiled and opened the door. When they had made a bargain, the old woman said, "I will comb you properly for once." Poor little Snow White had no suspicion and let the old woman do as she pleased, but hardly had she put the comb in her hair that the poison in it took effect, and the girl fell down senseless. "You paragon of beauty," said the wicked woman, "you are done for now." And she went away. But fortunately, it was almost evening when the seven dwarves came home. When they saw Snow White lying as if dead upon the ground, they at once suspected the stepmother, and they looked and found the poisoned comb. Scarcely had they taken it out when Snow White came to herself and told them what had happened. Then they warned her once more to be upon her guard and to open the door to no one. The queen at home went in front of the glass and said, "Looking glass, looking glass on the wall, who in this land is the fairest of all?" Then it answered as before, "O queen, thou art fairest of all I see, but over the hills where the seven dwarves dwell, Snow White is still alive and well, and none is so fair as she." When she heard the glass speak thus, she trembled and shook with rage. "Snow White shall die," she cried, "even if it costs me my life." Thereupon she went into a quite secret, lonely room, where no one ever came, and there she made a very poisonous apple. Outside it looked pretty, white with a red cheek, so that everyone who saw it longed for it, but whoever ate a piece of it must surely die. When the apple was ready, she painted her face and dressed herself up as a countrywoman. So she went over the seven mountains to the seven dwarves. She knocked at the door. Snow White put her head out the window and said, "I cannot let anyone in. The seven dwarves have forbidden me." "I've lost my place." "It is all the same to me," answered the woman. "I shall soon get rid of my apples. There, I will give you but one." "Only one?" "No," said Snow White. "I dare not take anything." "Are you afraid of poison?" said the old woman. "Look, I will cut the apple in two pieces. You eat the red cheek, and I'll eat the white." The apple was so cunningly made that only the red cheek was poisoned. Snow White longed for the fine apple. When she saw that the woman ate part of it, she could resist no longer, and stretched out her hand and took the poisonous half. But hardly had she a bit of it in her mouth than she fell down, dead. Then the queen looked at her with a dreadful look, and laughed aloud and said, "White as snow, red as blood, black as any ebony wood. This time the dwarves cannot wake you up again." And when she asked of the looking glass at home, "Looking glass, looking glass, on the wall, who in this land is the fairest of all?" it answered at last, "O queen, in this land thou art fairest of all." Then her envious heart had rest, so far as an envious heart can have rest. The dwarves, when they came home in the evening, found Snow White lying upon the ground. She breathed no longer and was dead. They lifted her up, looked to see whether they could find anything poisonous, unlaced her, combed her hair, washed her with water and wine, but it was all of no use. The poor child was dead and remained dead. They laid her upon a bier, and seven of them sat round it and wept for her, and wept 3 days long. Bier spelled B-I-E-R, not sure of that spelling. Then they were going to bury her, but she still looked as if she were living and still had her pretty red cheeks. They said, "We could not bury her in the dark ground," and they had a transparent coffin of glass made so that she could be seen from all sides, and they laid her in it and wrote her name upon it in gold letters, and that she was a king's daughter. Then they put the coffin out upon the mountain, and one of them always stayed by it and watched it. And birds came too and wept for Snow White, first an owl, then a raven, and last a dove. And now Snow White lay a long, long time in the coffin, and she did not change, but looked as if she were asleep, for she was as white as snow, as red as blood, and her hair was as black as ebony. It happened, however, that a king's son came into the forest and went to the dwarf's house to spend the night. He saw the coffin on the mountain, and the beautiful Snow White within, and read what was written upon it in golden letters. Then he said to the dwarves, "Let me have the coffin. I'll give you whatever you want for it." But the dwarves answered, "You will not part with it, for all the gold in the world." Then he said, "Let me have it as a gift, for I cannot live without seeing Snow White. I will honor and prize her as my dearest possession." As he spoke in this way, the good dwarfs took pity on him and gave him the coffin. And now the king's son had it carried away by his servants on their shoulders, and it happened that they stumbled over a tree stump, and with a shock the poisonous piece of apple which Snow White had bitten off came out of her throat. And before long she opened her eyes, lifted up the lid of the coffin, sat up, and was once more alive. "Oh heavens, where am I?" she cried. The king's son, full of joy, said, "You are with me," and told her what had happened, and said, "I love you more than everything in the world. Come with me to my father's palace. You shall be my wife." And Snow White was willing, and went with him, and their wedding was held with great show and splendor. But Snow White's wicked stepmother was also bidden to the feast. When she had arrayed herself in beautiful clothes, she went before the looking glass and said, looking glass, on the wall, who in this land is the fairest of all?" The glass answered, "O queen, of all here the fairest art thou, but the young queen is fairer by far as I trow." Then the wicked woman uttered a curse, and was so wretched, so utterly wretched, that she did not know what to do. At first she would not go to the wedding at all, but she had no peace, and must go to see the young queen. And she went in, she knew Snow White, and she stood still with rage and fear, and could not stir. But iron slippers had already been put upon the fire, and they were brought in with tongs and set before her. Then she was forced to put on the red-hot shoes and dance until she dropped down dead. A lot of death in this one, but that's okay. That was Little Snow White by the Brothers Grimm. I think many adaptations of this have been made. That's okay. I'm gonna try and see again if the harp music will work. I don't think it will. We're just gonna hear some louder fire music while I drink some water and get ready to tell you one of the tales from Arabian Nights or 1001 Nights. Stay tuned. Listening to WRCT Pittsburgh. This is Sleepy Time Tea with Chamomile. I go by some other DJ names like DJ Sideways and Distracted Driver, but mainly I'm just a voice on the radio telling you tales for every week at 11:30 p.m. on Thursdays. I picked one of the tales from Arabian Nights slightly at random, but mainly because this one has multiple passages that can be told. This is the barber's tale of himself. I was living in Baghdad during the times of Al-Mustansir bi-Allah, son of Al-Mustazi bi-Allah, the then caliph, a prince who loved the poor and needy, and accompanied with the learned and pious. One day it happened to him that he was wroth with 10 persons, highwaymen, who robbed on the caliph's highway, and he ordered the prefect of Baghdad to bring them into the presence on the anniversary of the great festival. So the prefect sallied out, and making them his prisoners, embarked with them in a boat. I caught sight of them as they were embarking and said to myself, "These are surely assembled for a marriage feast. Methinks they are spending their day in that boat, eating and drinking, and none shall be companion of their cups but I myself." So I rose, O fair assembly, and of the excess of my courtesy and the gravity of my understanding, I embarked with them and entered into conversation with them. They rowed across to the opposite bank, where they landed, and there came up with the watch and the guardians of the peace with chains, which they put round the robbers' necks. They chained me among the rest of them, and, "O people, is it not a proof of my courtesy and spareness of speech that I held my peace and did not please to speak?" Then they took us away in bilboes, and next morning carried us all before Al-Mustansir bi-Allah, commander of the faithful, who bade smite the necks of the 10 robbers. So the sworder came forward after they were seated on the leather of blood, then drawing his blade, struck off one head after another until he had smitten the neck of the 10th, and I alone remained. The caliph looked at me and asked the headsman, saying, "What ails thee that thou hast struck off only 9 heads?" And he answered, "Allah forbid that I should only behead 9, when thou biddest me behead 10. Quoth the caliph, "Meseems thou hast smitten the necks of only 9, and this man before thee is the 10th. By thy beneficence, replied the headsman, I have beheaded 10. Count them, cried the caliph, and when asked they counted heads, lo, there were 10. The caliph looked at me and said, What made thee keep silence at a time like this, and how camest thou to company with these men of blood? Tell me the cause of all this, for albeit thou art a very old man, assuredly thy wits are weak. Now when I heard those words from the caliph, I sprang to my feet and replied, Know, O Prince of the Faithful, that I am the silent Shaykh, and am thus called to distinguish myself from my 6 brothers. I am a man of immense learning, whilst as for my gravity of my understanding, the wiliness of my wits, and the spareness of my speech, there is no end of them, and my calling is that of a barber. I went out early on yesterday morning, and saw these men making for a skiff, and fancying they were bound for a marriage feast, I joined them, and mixed with them. After a while up came the watch and guardians of the peace, who put chains round their necks and round mine with the rest. But in the excess of my courtesy, I held my peace, and spake not a word. Nor was this other but generosity on my part. They brought us into thy presence, and thou gavest an order to smite the necks of the 10. Yet did I not make myself known to thee, and remain silent before this order, purely of my great generosity and courtesy, which led me to share with them in their death. But all my life long have I dealt thus nobly with mankind, and they requite me the foulest and evilest requital. Requital, I assume. When the caliph heard my words, and knew that I was a man of exceeding generosity and of very few words, one in whom is no forwardness, as this youth would have it, whom I rescued from mortal risk, and who hath so scurvily repaid me, he laughed with excessive laughter till he fell upon his back. Then said he to me, O silent man, do thy 6 brothers favor thee in wisdom and knowledge and spareness of speech? I replied, Never were they like me. Thou puttest reproach upon me, O commander of the faithful, and it becomes thee not even to my brothers with me. For of the abundance of their speech and their deficiency of courtesy and gravity, each one of them hath gotten some maim or other. One is a monocular, another palsied, a third stone blind, a fourth cropped of ears and nose, and a fifth shorn of both lips, while the 6th is a hunchback and a cripple. And conceive not, O commander of the faithful, that I am prodigal of speech, but I must perforce explain to thee that I am a man of greater worth and fewer words than any of them. From each one of my brothers hangs a tale of how he came by his bodily defect, and these I will relate to thee. So the caliph gave ear to the barber's tale of the first brother. However, the time is almost midnight, and the barber's tale of his first brother may have to wait until next week. Most weeks, I will be followed by a different show starting at midnight. This one is, I believe, let me check. I know it's by Bruce Springsteen, 666, I believe. And I believe the show is called something along the lines. Anyways, I've been told it's a hard techno and noise show, which will be a very fun contrast to Sleepy Time Tea with Chamomile. But if I've not particularly done a good job getting you to get sleepy, maybe you should get up and dance most weeks right after this. But I'm going to turn to DJ Auto, which is what we call automation around here. My assumption is that'll be some folk, but you have been listening to WRCT Pittsburgh. I'm Chamomile, and this was Sleepy Time Tea. We read the tale, the barber's tale of himself from Arabian Nights, and Snow White from the Brothers Grimm. If you want to call me at 412-268-9728 in the next 5 to 10 minutes with any suggestions for future weeks, they must be public domain, as this is the radio. And yeah, enjoy. That's 412-268-9728. Have a good night, everybody.
Visit www.fda.gov/drugdisposal.
What kind of help does the IRS have for identity theft victims? If you suspect you're a victim of tax-related identity theft, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn how to prevent potential refund fraud and protect your tax account. At the IRS, combating tax-related identity theft is a top priority, and we are committed to prevention, detection, and assisting victims. And we're working with law enforcement to catch the criminals. For more info, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn what the IRS is doing to help protect you.
You are listening to 88.3 FM WRCT Pittsburgh.